Now, holidays, work trips, cargo, freight, parcels. We rely on aviation for so many things, personally and also for business. But aviation's carbon footprint is huge. So, what are some of the sustainable technology changes that are taking it into the future? There's a handful of manufacturers looking at reviving the production of seaplanes for a new age in aviation, including Amphibian Aerospace Industries in Darwin. I asked Tim Riley, who's a professor of aviation at Griffith University in Brisbane, if seaplanes are harking back to the past but re-emerging as a sustainable possibility.
With all the environmental challenges, people are looking at different alternatives. And with something like seaplanes, you've already got some tourism ones around the place, and they can be economically viable as well for larger scale travel, such as in Vancouver, over from Victoria to the city, quite regular trips. And I think it's trying to then look at all alternatives that can be financially feasible and scaled up. To make them relevant for in a modern age with environmental challenges and technology changes that could make them really viable.
Yes, certainly there are seaplanes that already run around Australia, places like Sydney. Also here in New Zealand, there's a float plane in the Marlborough Sounds, which obviously takes you out to kind of remote areas that are hard to get to otherwise. What sort of advantages do seaplanes have?
I think with things like tourism, you've got things like beaches. I've been to Whitehaven Beach by seaplane in Hamilton Island, which is fantastic. So you always have that kind of accessibility to scenic places where you can land near the beautiful areas. I think that is going to be an advantage moving forward when you also have in cities where you've got water to land on, then you can beat congestion, you can easily get around a place quite quickly. It's just then making it practically feasible that you can get those kind of trips for a lot of people traveling at relatively reasonable or lower fares.
So, are we talking about very small scale here? I mean, almost if you like, flying taxis or flying buses, or can seaplanes be sort of scaled up to be able to take many more passengers or indeed cargo?
There's always that challenge with any of these elements of scaling them up to make them economically viable for large operations. And I think there's that hope, as well as with kind of electric aircraft, that they can actually feasibly work and but it is that challenge to scale them up. So in terms of an economic rationale, if you could get aircraft, say with 20 or 30 on board rather than 5 to 10, then yes, you can start scaling up there. So it's one of those things where it can practically work on a small scale, and then it's a mixture of improving the technology and getting the economics to work, both in the aircraft but also takeoff and landing, airport infrastructure, or getting people off quickly and efficiently.
What is the economics of this, the cost of a trip? Is it at the moment pretty high, pretty prohibitive, and not something that your average person would do on a regular basis?
So certainly, you've got the tourism ones where we've given some examples already where it would be fairly high as kind of a one-off tourist trip for most people. I think if you can get them on routes where you have used the aircraft a lot, so a lot of the low-cost airlines would run the aircraft back and forth. And I come back to the Vancouver example where if you have got a location where you can run them back and forth, then the economics do start stacking up. It's a bit like when commercial aviation in the middle of the last century went from just the elite, and they weren't really making money. They had to be kept being subsidized by the government. But once you got larger aircraft, airlines could come in and make money from it.
What about the situation for something like medical care? I mean, obviously in Australia, the Flying Doctors, it's more than just a TV show. It is certainly part of the rural infrastructure. Is something like an amphibious aircraft something that would be a pretty handy addition to that area?
In some places, Yes, I mean, I kind of think to Scandinavia. There's a Norwegian company looking at electric seaplanes, and I think I keep thinking of Scandinavia with the fjords and the water there, often quite inaccessible. Flying Doctors to me as the image, and it's a lot of outback Australia. It's great work in regional Australia. I think you have got some kind of coastal areas in New Zealand as well as Australia where I see this as a as more of a niche, but they can complement each other, and certainly there will be some a lot of islands around the place. So there is that. You can get some kind of regional and medical assistance there from aircraft as well.
Now, of course, we do have electric cars. More and more, you see them out on the roads. Electric planes, though, I think Air New Zealand's beginning to look at one for mail runs, the battery-powered plane. How is the technology in that area of the sector beginning to evolve?
It is starting to scale up. You have got the size of the battery and the kind of distances and all the stuff with surface transport and cars, like range anxiety, and so you can see electric aviation developing for kind of shorter distances, almost regional, linking up to some of the more national routes. And you have places, I go back to Scandinavia, where it's starting to develop more. What we have at the moment in aviation is looking at alternative fuels, and you've got sustainable aviation and biofuels, you've got electric, and you've got hydrogen, and they're all kind of developing. And the challenge is basically electric, like the others, is scaling up and getting the aircraft in longer distances. But it's starting to find its niche, and all of the aviation players are looking into it, like the other technologies.
You'd mentioned their range anxiety, and just thinking about longer haul as well. When you arrive at the destination halfway around the world, and you then have to circle above the airport for 45 minutes, that would certainly get the heartbeat going, wouldn't it? The heart racing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there is a range of things that needed to be considered. I think at the certainly at the initial stages, electric aviation is kind of for short regional trips, and I think you'd only get it to be international and to more congested areas when you would have that full confidence of it being able to last. But even with conventional fuel, you do have aircraft having to make quicker landings because of circling too long. So it's a problem that exists at the moment. I mean, arguably not to the same extent because of the distances involved, but you could see a way where that would be solved, or to a situation which is similar to conventional fuels at the moment.
Yeah, how far away do you think we are from things like electric planes becoming much more common? Yes, for some of these shorter regional routes, but is that something people are going to begin to see in the next, what, 10, 20 years?
It's always harder the further ahead you look. I think certainly 2030, we should start seeing alternative fuels. The major airlines are looking more at biofuel, but certainly you can see electric aviation and hydrogen as well being a piece of the kind of aviation landscape out there. So certainly we're in a position now where all three of them have had trial runs, and we know that they work on a small scale. I would say 5 to 10 years, certainly we'll see the changes.
Yeah, talk to me about airships, because whenever I think about an airship, I think of the Hindenburg, and it didn't end well. What sort of uses are those being developed for at this stage?
I think I would certainly stick to hydrogen and aircraft in terms of the whole airship concept. Certainly, people working in hydrogen focus on hydrogen aircraft, and there's trials here in Queensland. It's Stralis are developing hydrogen aircraft, and have got a route from Brisbane to Gladstone in the next couple of years. So certainly, people in hydrogen and hydrogen aviation kind of get a bit kind of frustrated by that link, which understandably comes up because people go back to it. But certainly, I would kind of just push down hydrogen aircraft route, and it's kind of having that as a potential alternative fuel for aircraft. And with the safety in aviation, which it always naturally has to be rigorous and thorough, I would expect the same, clearly the same level of checks and tests as you would with the other fuels.
Yeah, on that score, what is the situation with the regulatory bodies here? Because, aviation is pretty tightly regulated, and that's a good thing. What about the development, the innovation, and the evolution here, and how the regulation can keep up with it?
It's a real challenge. I know that without too much detail, certainly the regulators here have recruited a lot of people in this new aviation area, not just alternative fuels, but in UAVs, eVTOLs, electrical vertical takeoff and landing. So they are recruiting, doing work in this area with white papers and the way forward. I think it is a real challenge because aviation is, as I keep saying, dynamic and disruptive. It is moving very quickly and having to move very quickly. Excuse the pun, but we are in this position where regulators have to keep up, and you also have to have the process of getting everything safely implemented. So things may take longer than because of trying to go through the natural hoops that you have to go through with safety. But you're right, it is a real challenge.
I don't know if this is the right term, but of the airlines that are currently running, is it possible to point to one that is the greenest, the most environmentally friendly, sustainable? It seems slightly strange as a topic when we're talking about airlines, which obviously burn lots of aviation fuel, but are there some that are doing more than others in this space?
I would probably not want to put one forward ahead of the others. Partly, the major international carriers are all testing sustainable aviation fuels to different extent, and some may claim to be more environmental either because they have basically got newer aircraft. So newer aircraft are always a bit more efficient. So they're all looking into it and testing it to some extent. The airlines in countries or locations with are under maybe under more pressure depending on their government. So the ones in Europe, for example, and New Zealand as well have more environmental credentials. There's movements here in Australia and also in the US towards more environmentally sustainable aviation. So and I think a lot of the major airlines often tend to be followers rather than leaders across all things. So I wouldn't want to pick any out. They're all moving in the same direction, some quicker than others. It comes to the modern aircraft, and actually for me, it's often the location, the pressure they're under from governments, businesses, and the public where they fly.
When the changeover begins to happen, assuming that it does, to more sustainable forms of air travel, would current planes, which clearly have an awful lot of components in them, will there be any way that they could be converted or recycled? Or is this something that would have safety implications and they probably should and will end up in landfill?
Well, it's something like SAF. The argument is you can just plug, you just put in the different fuel. So that kind of situation doesn't necessarily happen. But I mean, aircraft can last anything 10, 20 years. So we always are going to have that delayed element of the kind of having less efficient and more conventional fueled aircraft, but and also you're going to get locations where you're going to get the new aircraft, but in a global business where a lot of developing countries are booming for aviation, so it's going to be quite a long time with the older aircraft still flying, and you have got always kind of have the disposal side of things as well. So it is going to take time on that side as well.
Do you think we're going to get to a tipping point where one of these technologies will kind of outstrip the others? Or will it be a case of various different technologies, depending on the circumstance, depending on, as you say, the area of the world and what exactly these aircraft are being asked to do?
I think it's most likely to be a mix, because I think biofuel has always got the challenge of using feedstock and just the scale of what's needed. So I do sense we'll be into an era where you will have very different types of technology, different types of fuel. And I think there's also the different kind of geographies involved. I've mentioned examples from Canada to Scandinavia to clearly more locally in New Zealand and Australia. So they all have different distances. Some are over reliant on aviation, like Australia, New Zealand can't use, or for a lot, most trips can't use high speed rail, for example. So there's a lot of different situations, different technologies, different fuels.